It's the Peter B. Collins Show. This is called a democracy.
Tuesday in November.
Does your vote really count? And did they actually count your vote?
Lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. But now nobody knows exactly where it went. Fell off my vote.
Ah, but it only happened in one district in Florida, you know?
And lost my vote. Now, do you know where did my ballot go?
Yeah, that's Ellen Buxtell. And every Friday, we spend an hour with his Bradness, Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com and our leading advocate for clean elections in this country and integrity of those elections. Happy New Year, Brad.
Thank you, my friend. I'm back at you. How are you?
Nice to talk with you again. It's been a couple of weeks.
It has been, but good news is, while we were off, while I was off, we've saved democracy, so everything is fine.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
Taking care of that during the break.
Well, I first of all want to comment that apparently during the break you had a little extra time to spend perusing the Fox News channel, because you sent out a blurb today with a screenshot from the Fox News channel of the historic handoff of the gavel from Republican John Boehner to Democrat Nancy Pelosi yesterday. And the Fox News channel text, the chyron below it reads, 100 hours to turn America into San Francisco.
That's right.
That's beautiful.
Well, that's what you get from all that fair and balance that they have to offer at the Fox News channel. It's unfortunate on the radio we can't put the word news in quotes, as I do over at Brad Blog, but man, how about that?
That's just amazing. It really is. Well, Brad, there's a lot to talk about. Why don't we start off with yesterday's front page New York Times story about the entity that is supposed to be fairly and balancedly certifying electronic voting machines, and it turns out that their work cannot be certified.
Yeah, this is an absolutely incredible story. Stunning, I would add. It turns out there are three, and you and I believe we've talked about this before, three different private companies that make up what is called the Independent Testing Authority, or the ITA. Trouble is, they're not independent, they don't do much testing, and they're not particularly authoritative, as they are chosen.
Well, then the name's perfect, according to Orwell standards.
Exactly right. They're actually chosen by the voting machine companies themselves, and they are paid by the voting machine companies themselves, and they actually are the labs that test these machines, such as they're tested at all, at the federal level. It's sort of the last step before they're given federal certification. Well, each of the three labs tests a different aspect of the voting machines, one their software, the other the hardware, another the firmware, and so forth. So even these labs, which are paid for by the companies themselves, are not allowed to test the voting machines in full. You know, they never get to look at the full package at the same time. And further, they only look at what the voting machine companies tell them to. So it is a scam, and I've pointed out before that this means no one in America actually fully tests the voting machines that we use in all 50 states in every election in this country. It's an absolute scam. That said, it appears to be worse than we thought. The U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, the EAC, is supposed to be overseeing the ITA. Well, they haven't been. The EAC themselves are completely compromised, completely corrupt, and it turns out that as of July, they actually refused to certify one of those labs. Cyber is the name of the lab that they refused to certify because, as it turns out, the lab itself had inadequate paperwork, inadequate testing procedures, and so that lab has yet to be certified under this new program that the EAC is supposedly running. But what's incredible here is that that happened last July.
Yeah.
And the EAC never told anyone about it. They still haven't released the information publicly. And, in fact, it was only the New York Times who put this information out here. That means that every single voting machine in America, Peter, that was used in the November election, just about every one of them would have had to have received some form of testing from that lab, that cyber lab that was, you know, had inadequate testing procedures. And yet the EAC allowed those machines to be used anyway and never told elections officials about the problems with the cyber labs. It is extraordinary, and it underscores the fact, frankly, that the EAC is so corrupt, is such a failure, is so compromised, that at this point I'm recommending this EAC be abolished altogether. They serve absolutely no purpose anymore. It's a disaster.
Yeah. And it is remarkable, given all of the heat that has been on and the attention that you and other election protection activists have brought to these issues, that this was permitted to stay under the radar and remain unreported until just yesterday.
Well, it is because there has been no one overseeing the EAC when you had the Republicans in Congress, and in fact, I had a story some time ago that we talked about where the first chair of the EAC, DeForest Soares, we had him on the show together, didn't we?
We had him on election night.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Bush appointee. He resigned from the commission last year. I've lost track of the years now, but he resigned from the commission, saying that it was, you know, completely a fraud, that Congress and White House didn't give a damn about election reform, there was no standards for voting machines, and that elections were ripe for stealing. I mean, since then, he left, and the most partisan political operatives have been appointed to head up this commission. I mean, it's an absolute joke. Nobody's overseeing it. Never mind the fox guarding the hen house. There is nobody guarding the hen house at this time, and I can only hope and pray that the folks in Congress figure this out and figure it out quickly to do something about it, because, you know, mind you, folks are talking about 2008, of course. The truth of the matter is, I think we're only about, 15 or 16 months away from the primaries, certainly out here in California, for the 2008 election. And this system, this election system, needs to be scrapped, frankly, from top to bottom. And we've only got about 16 months to do it at this point.
Well, you know, there are a couple of really expert individuals who are available right now who could be named to the EAC. And I'm thinking of Catherine Harris and Ken Blackwell. And you can imagine that Bush thinks they're the kind of experts he wants in charge of our electronic voting.
You know what? They are. And it would not faze me for a second if, J. Kenneth Blackwell was named to that body. I'm not kidding. The woman who is coming in as the chair of the EAC, her name is Donetta Davidson. And she is so unbelievably partisan. She actually went down right after the election in November. She went down to Florida. There was a meeting of elections officials and EAC and so forth. And she actually said out loud, and I don't believe I've run it yet on the Brad blog, but I've got the audio tape. She actually said she was disappointed that the Democrats won because she had an agreement with the Republicans in the Senate to keep Congressman Rush Holt's election reform bill from ever seeing the light of day over in the Senate.
Wow.
This is the woman who heads the EAC, the Elections Assistance Commission, the only federal body that oversees all of our electoral systems. It's absolutely stunning. She's now the chair, and now she's running around in response to this New York Times piece about the decertification of cyber, saying, oh, well, you know, don't worry. There's three full levels of testing that go on at the federal level and the state level and the local level. The fact of the matter is there is no testing at the federal or at the state or local level virtually at all. California is one of the best states for testing, and we've discussed how woefully inadequate the testing is in this state under Bruce McPherson, the thankfully outgoing Secretary of State.
Yeah, he's got one more day.
And that's right. And most of the states, I was speaking with John Gideon of Voters Unite about this last night. I said most states do it the way Colorado did it, which we learned, you know, in Colorado, you may recall that lawsuit where it turned out the guy they had hired to do the certification had no qualifications for it whatsoever, and his certification amounted to taking the machine out of the box, making sure the paperwork was there, turning it on, turning it off, and say, great, it's certified for the state of Colorado. And I mentioned that to John Gideon. I said, most states, I think, are like that. He said, yeah, Danetta Davidson was the Secretary of State of Colorado.
Oh, my God.
She's the guy who hired the guy in Colorado who was doing that certification, that rubber stamp certification. It is that bad, Peter.
Wow. That's just amazing. Brad, we're going to take a break, and as we continue, I want to talk about the challenge to congressional elections, including the Jennings-Buchanan race and the Feeney-Curtis race in Florida. That's coming up, plus your phone calls if you'd like to talk about election issues. Brad Friedman's with us this entire hour. And lines are open toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly. Here's your latest traffic for the Monterey Bay area. First in Prunedale, Desante Road at 101, an accident. A car hit a parked pickup truck. A tow truck is on the scene there. Live Oak, 7th Avenue at Capitola Road. The traffic lights are not working properly. The left turn signal is not cycling. That's why you're still waiting. Well, we do have some road construction to report. First in Santa Cruz, Soquel Avenue between Seabright Avenue and Parkway. There will be paving work until 6 p.m. today and possibly tomorrow, Saturday. That work will involve lane closures and detours and will interrupt bus routes along Soquel Avenue. Right now, some slowdown. Southbound Highway 1 is slow between Monterey and Carmel. This traffic is brought to you by Quaker Oats Company. Help your heart by taking the Quaker Smart Heart Challenge. Research suggests your cholesterol could be dropped by eating Quaker oatmeal for 30 days. I'm Michael Kidd for KRXA 540.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to do something, Charlie. Try pushing that button now.
Yeah, what about that button over there?
No. How about that button?
Huh? Yeah?
No, not that one either.
Oh, God.
I know. I'll try pushing this one. Put my hat, would you? There's a good fella.
All right, I'll try pushing this one. It's the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue our weekly visit with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. The lines are open if you'd like to talk with us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Brad, next I wanted to ask you about the developments in Washington related to the contested congressional elections. A total of four of them have been challenged in Florida, but the two that appear to have the most traction are the Christine Jennings, Vern Buchanan, is that his name?
Christine Jennings, Vern Buchanan race, where 18,000 votes seem to have disappeared in an election that on ESNS touchscreen systems, in an election separated by just 369 votes.
Right.
That's
Florida 13, right?
Florida 13, mm-hmm. Correct. There's also, as you mentioned, three other elections also being challenged in Congress under the Federal Elected Contested Elections Act, where the Congress essentially gets to decide who will be seated in the House. Now, they've gone ahead and they've seated all of these so-called certified winners, four of them from Florida. There's another race that's being challenged from Louisiana. They've gone ahead and certified all of these folks, all Republicans, provisionally for now. And each of the candidates that are bringing these challenges are entitled to a hearing in their case. Certainly the most notable, or the one that's gotten the most news, is the Jennings-Buchanan race. And in fact, some breaking news there today, just a few hours ago, the new head of the U.S. House Administrative Committee, Juanita Millender McDonald, mm-hmm. who has taken Bob Ney's place. You remember our old friend, Mr. Ney?
Yeah, he's no longer available to serve.
Yeah, for some reason he's not available to serve, at least not in Congress.
No, he's serving a sentence.
That's right. And so he's gone. So the Democrat now, Juanita Millender McDonald, has sent a letter down to the judge, to the court, actually, the appellate court down in Florida, telling them that it is her opinion and Congress's opinion that the court should order the release of the source code from ESNS, those touchscreen machines that were used in that election. Just before the end of the year, it was really the last day of the year, actually December 29th, late in the day, Friday, the judge in the case down there in Florida where the election is also being contested determined that the source code for those voting machines where 18,000 votes disappeared without a trace, the source code should not be released to the plaintiffs because he said that it was the proprietary information of the company and that I guess they have a right to keep their proprietary software a secret rather than allowing the voters of Florida to figure out what the hell went on.
And so, didn't the judge insert a snarky personal opinion and try to dismiss the whole issue as speculation on the part of the Jennings side?
Well, that's right. He said there was a speculation, a conjecture. There was absolutely no evidence that anything went wrong here. I mean, it was really the most bizarre ruling. We've got the ruling up in full over at Brad Blog, but I don't know what he was possibly thinking. And I immediately talked to the attorneys after the ruling, They said, you bet we're going to appeal. They have now done so. And with this letter from the House, I think it's putting the courts down there on notice that if they don't release that source code, I suspect they may invoke the subpoena power. Finally, subpoena power. You remember that.
Oh, yeah. What a nice idea.
Exactly.
Well, and to me, Brad...
Invoking a subpoena to get at that source code because they have to at this point. It's the only way they'll ever be able to determine, I believe, what happened, really, in that Florida 13 race.
Yeah, and to me, the real gratifying element here is that Democrats in Congress, in Washington, are taking this issue very seriously at last.
Well, they are indeed, and I spent a good deal of my, what we can call my Christmas New Year's holiday, sort of talking to folks in Congress, looking at some of the legislation. In fact, I was able to review a draft for the new Rush Holt legislation that will be refiled in this Congress very shortly. I've been promised I would not release any details on it just yet, given under that condition. But suffice to say, I'm encouraged. There's a lot of real good stuff in there, and even while there are still some areas of great concern with the new legislation. So that was a draft, however, and I'm told we'll be getting a look at a new draft soon, and hopefully the comments that I've been feeding them about my concerns will be taken into account in the upcoming draft.
I sure hope so, and as you are able to reveal that, we look forward to hearing more.
I will tell you this. I know you got to go to a break here, but I will tell you this, that in fact the language has been changed, very importantly, to call for a voter-verified paper ballot as opposed to a paper record or paper trail as had been the case before.
Very good. Brad Friedman with us. We want to take a quick call from Ed in Aptos, who's got an update for us on Peter Lougher's visit to Capitola. Go ahead, Ed.
Yes, I was going to mention that as I finished with last caller yesterday.
We got cut off by the minimum wage guy.
Yeah. But I think it was very successful. He had overflow crowd at the Capitola Book Cafe. And so I'm part of that. And I also like to give kudos to Brad. It's nice to have a pit bull on your side.
Oh, yeah. And he's a pretty good-looking pit bull, and he doesn't drool.
Well, I don't know if Brad remembers me, but I was the one hustling drinks at Crawford while he was there underneath the tent doing his radio broadcast.
Well, I don't remember you specifically, but if you were hustling drinks in Crawford, let me thank you here and now for having done that.
All right, Ed, Brad.
Keep everybody hydrated there under those difficult circumstances.
All right, guys, I'm up against the break. Thanks for the call, Ed.
Okay,
we'll continue,
bye-bye.
And we got more callers next for Brad Friedman here on the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can visit our website, too, peterbcollins.com, for access to archive programs and other groovy stuff.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. It's Behind the Wheel, the consumer new car review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Nissan Quest, a minivan that gives you everything you could want, if indeed you need a minivan. My Quest demo has a fuel-injected six-cylinder engine that's got plenty of power and a smooth five-speed automatic. It's very well-designed, seats seven, and has every feature you can think of. A big sunroof, power side doors, and, well, just about power everything. DVD with wireless headsets, nav system, satellite radio, but it's really practical, too. I folded down the rear seats and loaded in an oversized six-foot bathtub, and it fit nicely with all doors closed. By the numbers, the 2007 Nissan Quest 3.5 SE gets about 18 miles in the city, 25 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $41,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and first and foremost, Stephen Watsonville has a very important message. Go, Steve.
I'd just like to commend our fellow Americans, Peter. I wanted to ask you about
your... Now, why? Why do you want to commend our fellow Americans?
Well, I wanted to ask you about your middle initial, but let me first determine whether it stands
Steve.
For Brown.
Steve, spit it out.
I'd like to commend our fellow Americans for flying their flags at half-mast in honor of the Godfather of Soul.
I knew he could spit it out. And no, the B doesn't stand for Brown. It's for Buckeye, my home state. So good. And this is from the phase where James was doing a lot of speed. And I still have my free James Brown sticker right on the side of a file cabinet here at the Secret Studio location. We continue now with his Bradness, Brad Friedman. Did you pause to honor James Brown somewhere?
In fact, I did. I put up a post, an old video of Eddie Murphy from Saturday Night Live. Did you ever see that video?
Well, was that when he was doing the Veva Jones act?
No. It was actually when he was doing a hot tub party with James Brown.
Huh. I don't remember that.
And it, brilliant. He sings this song in the hot tub.
Uh-huh.
And it's hysterical. If you scroll on down Brad Block, you'll be able to find it. It was one of my favorites from the early Eddie Murphy days. That was my... That was the best I could do for a tribute to James Brown.
All right. Well, I will dive into the blog and look for that. That should be quite entertaining. And I will always remember that it's a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl. And I thank James Brown for that.
You are not the Godfather of Soul, are you?
Oh, no. There's never going to be any confusion about that. All right. It looks like Brian in Manchester is next for Brad Friedman. Hello, Brian.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. I want to second that lad's last suggestion there, too. James Brown was the consummate great entertainer. He proved that it's much more than, the talent involves much more than singing, voice quality, all that stuff.
But well, I can tell you.
The staff for James Brown is much more deserved than for Gerald Ford because I've read the Warren Commission report.
Okay, I'll go along with that. And also, Brian, before, hold on, pause a little bit. I can tell you from personal observation that in addition to his obvious talents, James Brown was very well endowed because I sat in the front row of a show one time.
Okay. I'll take your word for it then. Yeah,
and I'll leave it at that.
Okay, lad, okay. But I wanted to ask Brad there. First, the Virginia senatorial election, the state election in 2006, there was widespread reports of voter suppression and also the ballot there where Jim Webb, that's a very short name, they didn't put his full name on the ballot. I'm wondering if anything has come of that, any kind of a investigation of that. And also in Ohio, I worked as much as I possibly could from New Hampshire for Jennifer Bruner for the new Secretary of State of Ohio. I'm wondering, for her becoming the new Secretary of State, and I'm wondering, if, could any possible criminal prosecution of the former Secretary of State, Ken Anti-Blackwell, and come out of this eventually from the 2004 stolen election, and also charge...
Oh, wait. That's too much to remember, Brian.
Right.
Just hold on here, and we're going to let you come back with another follow-up question.
Right,
so, first of all, Virginia and Jim Webb.
Yeah, I'll try to hit it quickly. They actually did put his name on the ballot correctly, but the Hart InterCivic touchscreen voting machines were incorrectly cutting off his name on many ballots. And, indeed, I also heard and received some reports that I have not been able to follow up myself to look into concerning fraud in that Virginia race. It is notable and interesting to me that George Allen decided not to contest it, given how close it was. But the fact is you had about 80% of the machines down there were completely paperless machines, and there wouldn't have been much to, if there had been a recount, it would have simply said the same thing, and it would have been damned hard to do much of an investigation on the election at all, despite my calling for him to do exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
And weren't the exit polls also, and once again, showing a larger a range of victory, a larger victory margin for James Webb than actually the official results were showing?
You know what? There may have been. I know that the Election Defense Alliance did a report on that and on a bunch of the exit polls showing exactly that in a lot of races all across the country. I don't remember the data on that specific race, however, so I'm loath to comment one way or another, but it wouldn't surprise me because apparently that did happen all over the country where the exits were showed. They contended that, in fact, instead of, 30 seats, that had the votes been properly counted, the Democrats might have won 40 or more seats in the U.S. House.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brian's next question was about whether we can try Ken Blackwell for war crimes in the United States or if we'll have to go to Germany like Rumsfeld.
That's right. We could probably get it done quicker in Iraq, but that said, I don't know. Well, you were asked about Jennifer Bruner and the new Secretary of State of Ohio and whether she has any control over that. I don't know that she does. However, let me say that I think that there is good reason to believe or at least to hope that a lot of these matters will begin to be investigated in the U.S. House.
Because there's a lot of information out there about that 2004 election from Bob Fitrakis, Harvey Wasserman, et cetera, freepress.org,
mm-hmm.
and your great website. And also I'm thinking that these criminal investigations, they should naturally lead to that November 2nd election day morning meeting in Columbus, Ohio, between George W. Bush, Karl Rove, and Blackwell. And I'm wondering, if John Kerry had done that and he had won Ohio, then they would still be prosecuting him and crucifying him in the American media, and he would still be in some kind of a trial for having done won Ohio that way. There's a huge conflict of interest going on there. I believe it's criminal.
Well, I've seen reports of that. I don't know that I've ever seen it actually confirmed that meeting actually did occur. But what is good here is that you've got a guy like John Conyers now heading up the U.S. Judiciary Committee.
Yes.
With subpoena power. Obviously, Conyers is well familiar with what happened in 2004.
Absolutely.
And beyond. Although a lot of this may come under the purview of the House Administration Committee. That's the one headed, as I say, by Juanita Millender McDonald now. Another California representative, by the way.
Right.
So we're going to see what's happening. I understand that Nancy Pelosi has pretty tight control over what gets investigated by these various committees, so we'll see. But my sources are telling me that it would not be we should not be surprised to see investigations into all of the above, including the voting machine scam, the way the companies have gotten away with bloody murder, the mess at the EAC, and everything else. I mean, it's incredible because you have 6 years here where there has been oversight of nothing. So where do you start first? But I think in the course of all of those investigations, I would be lying if I could tell you where they might go. I think there's so much information that could come out in any and all directions that it would be merely speculation to determine, you know, what's actually going to happen. But if I was J. Kenneth Blackwell, I would not be resting particularly easy right now.
Brian, I promised you one more. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I just say we'll keep a good thought about that. And when do you... Do you have any idea from the Congress, the incoming Congress, how soon will the voting machine, real voting reform, be on their plate for the incoming, you know, for the Democratic new Congress?
Good question. I haven't gotten any hard timetables, from anybody yet, but it has been very clear, particularly over the holiday break, that, frankly, though it hasn't been spoken publicly about quite a bit by congressmen, that this election reform issue is one they're taking very seriously, and there has been, as I say, a whole lot of jockeying behind the scenes going on about this legislation. So I would expect to see it sooner rather than later. I know that Rush Holt is very hot to get something going, and, of course, with the mess in Florida 13 and the now the House contest, these are going to be coming up right away, and it's going to bring put the issue smack dab right there in the middle of the national media. They're going to have to do something about it. So I would say, hedging my bets here, sooner rather than later. And the big debate, really, behind the scenes for the moment, is on the is whether DREs, direct recording electronic machines, usually touchscreens, will be banned entirely. And, of course, I'm urging that they should.
Yes.
And just before the holiday break, a group of a large coalition of election integrity organizations headed over at velvetrevolution.us, so I hope you'll go over there and sign the letter, made a statement in no uncertain terms that we need a paper ballot for every vote cast and that DREs, with or without the so-called paper trail, need to go. They simply are unsafe at any speed. So problem is a lot of the election reform legislation that had been proposed by Democrats had allowed for DREs. Well, that is now changing in light of the various disasters of 2006. And the question is, will the Democrats have the guts to call for the, for getting rid of DREs altogether, especially in light of the fact that we've just spent a few billion dollars on these stupid machines that we're going to have to toss into landfills at this point.
Well, we can send them to Iraq. They're working on democracy there. Brian, thank you for
an informed call.
Good to have you listening in New Hampshire tonight. Vicki in Idaho Falls, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman.
Hi. This whole issue of the voting machines just drives me absolutely nuts.
That's what I'm here for, Vicki.
I was a programmer.
Yeah, Brad is your therapist.
Designer. Yeah. Well, he's had good news tonight.
About the
paper ballots.
We were talking while you were talking. You just said you're a programmer?
Yeah, I was a systems designer, a programmer.
Okay.
But those, certifying the machines, those tests, those tests are really basically useless no matter who does them and no matter how they do them. Because what they're testing for is a positive result, and they're given test scripts, which means that they're told what to key in, and then they're told what results they should expect. And
Vicki, are you suggesting that they operate these voting machine tests on the same level we do as the Star Wars missile defense system?
Hey, I'm afraid so.
Oh, God.
No, it's the programmers that really do the testing. And what you're testing for as a programmer is you're testing for failure. What these certification tests are testing for is a positive result. I mean, you know, think about it. You can't have Granny Aunt B out in the field testing a machine because she doesn't know what she's doing. You've got to tell her what precisely to enter in and what precisely she should get back. And the people that are certifying these machines are doing the same thing.
You're absolutely right, Vicki. You couldn't be more right, which, of course, you know because you're a programmer. But most of the American people don't realize that, and that's why it makes me so crazy when you've got this woman, the head of the EAC, Danetta Davidson, coming out and saying, oh, these machines are thoroughly tested on three levels, federal, state, and local. Well, forget about the state and local because, you know, the states don't have the money to do the proper testing on these systems. Local, forget about it. They do no testing whatsoever. So the only thing you've got is the federal oversight, is those so-called ITAs, Independent Testing Authority, and you're absolutely right in how you describe their process. All they do is test what the voting machines companies tell them to do and give them a pass or fail. They do no red team attacks, hack testing at all. And that's why, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about it. That's why what's going on down there in Riverside County right now is so interesting, because I think it will, even where it is right now, it is beginning to reveal exactly how these tests are and, in this case, aren't done. You're exactly right, Vicki.
Right. Well, even at that, you know, the only thing that they could certify if they did decent testing would be the one machine that they're working on.
That's right.
Because, and even if you have people examining the source code, that doesn't mean anything because the source code has to be compiled. And an expert programmer can patch the compiled code. So even looking at the source code, testing it, doesn't matter what you do. Those machines, the only way that we can secure the voting system is to have a paper ballot.
Well, Vicki, thank you for a very well-informed call. Great to have you listening out there in the hinterlands. And I know that electronic voting machines drive you nuts. They drive Brad
well, let me say
crazy.
One more thing. Brad,
I won't
post that. Please post that clip that you have of that lady saying that because I'd like to send it out to everybody on my email.
Got it, Vicki, and I'm stuck in the middle.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
She interrupted my punchline. Don't you hate that? We will resume with his Bradness in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, kick off your new year by listening to one of the top experts on investing in real estate, James Ross. He's president and founder of National Real Estate Holdings and will be on the show sharing his strategies on how to build your wealth through real estate investments. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pill up there. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
I-
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Here's your latest traffic for the Monterey Bay Area. First in Ben Lomond, southbound 9 at Old County Road. It's just a disabled vehicle. A big rig got stuck making a turn, and it is blocking the entire roadway. That's southbound 9 at Old County Road. Santa Cruz from Roadwork, the Morrissey Boulevard exit from southbound Highway 1 has closed for 3 to 4 months of roadwork. Motorists can take Soquel Avenue or the Ocean Street off-ramp to access Morrissey. On-ramp also closed, but the Fairmont Avenue on-ramp to southbound 1 remains open. If you're leaving Silicon Valley on southbound 101, traffic is heavy from Highway 85 to Coyote Creek Golf Drive. It also continues heavy through Gilroy, Prunedale, and into Salinas. Rush into Office Depot for great deals on a wide assortment of file folders, binders, filing cabinets, and more. So hurry in and get organized today. Office Depot, they're taking care of business. I'm Michael Kidd for KRXA 540.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B., 9 minutes away from the hour. Brad Friedman with us, bradblog.com, in the classic green and yellow. Check it out. And, Brad, we got more callers, but I want to give you a chance to catch us up on the Riverside 10-to-1 Hacker Challenge.
No, that's 1,000-to-1.
Oh, 1,000-to-1.
Yeah.
See?
See there? Okay, I'll try to do so quickly. Back again just before the end of the year. Supervisor Jeff Stone down there in Riverside did an incredibly, let's call it a foolish thing. He challenged some election integrity advocates on videotape to bring in a hacker. They were saying that there's no machine they know of that can't be hacked. He said, well, then I dare you to bring in your programmer, have them come in. I'll be happy to set up an appointment with one of our Sequoia voting machines and let them try to hack it. And I bet 1,000-to-1 they can't manipulate the machines. Well, that was dumb because, as it turns out, the election integrity advocates took Mr. Stone up on that offer, got in touch with my help with programmer Harry Hursty, who hacked Diebold machines famously in the past. And Harry has agreed to take up this challenge. Some election integrity advocates threw some money into the pot. We have put $1,000 towards his 1,000-to-1 bet, so he'll lose $1,000,000 if he is proved wrong. The latest chapter includes a letter that Stone sent to the outgoing Secretary of State Bruce McPherson yesterday, if I have my dates right, or Wednesday actually. Telling him about this challenge, asking if it violated any federal or state laws. It was very interesting that he sent it to McPherson since he only had about 10 minutes left. McPherson has been very good friends to the Republican board down there in Riverside. He didn't send that letter to Deborah Bowen. But what's notable in the letter is he actually says, Mr. McPherson, I've challenged these election integrity advocates to come in and test our machines. The test would include no previous access to the machines, no use of any tools, a 15-minute time limit. You can't reach around the back of the machine. I mean, he goes on and on creating these ground rules that simply were not there in the challenge. And right now at the top of Brad Blog, I've got an article on this, including the letter, and most notably the comments from a number of computer scientists who explain the problem with Jeff Stone's letter, which is the fact that when you are doing a hack test, you wouldn't put restrictions on these voting machines, because the fact is the biggest threat to voting machines does not come from voters walking in off the street and voting. The biggest threat comes from insiders, elections officials, folks who are poll workers who are taking these voting machines home on sleepovers for days and weeks at a time prior to the election. And so any hack test should simulate insider access, the kind of access that a real bad guy would try to get. if in fact they wanted to manipulate an election.
Mm-hmm.
So that story is there. And since I know we're running out of time, let me just toss it really quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
A fabulous article that I urge you to come by to bradblog.com to read. If nothing else, come by for this article. A great piece from Tom Elias in the Ventura County Star today. The best article I've ever seen on e-voting. He talks about what Deborah Bowen plans to do. She says she's going to look at these machines and the certification for these machines from top to bottom. She will consider decertification of all of them. And what I really loved about the article, in the first two paragraphs, Elias points out that it points out exactly who the two groups are that have cost confidence in our electoral system. He places the blame squarely and appropriately for the first time on the folks who deserve it, which is A, the voting machine companies, and B, the elections officials who have been their enablers and apologists. Those are the bad guys, and for the first time in the mainstream media, a columnist has a reporter has actually pointed out that fact dead on the money.
Read all about it at bradblog.com. Lucille in La Selva Beach along the Santa Cruz coast, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I'm so happy I found you. I've been in Santa Cruz for a couple of months living and from San Jose, and I was thrilled to find your program.
Well, thank you.
A couple of quick things, and I'm so glad that I'm hearing people say, throw out the voting machines, because basically anything you get on a paper printout is going to be just a record of what you tapped on the screen. You know, it's not going to be what they rigged afterwards. But the one reason why I called in was because I hear this all the time, and it just absolutely makes me crazy, is when anybody's referring to anything the Bush regime has done in Iraq or otherwise, they say we, like, you know, we were a part of this country, we, the United States, and you just got to stop saying we.
All right.
You just got to break that habit, because it's not we at
all. Next time you catch me, you call right away and slap me, okay?
No, I wouldn't dare.
No, I'm giving you permission.
No, you'll remember.
He's actually requesting it.
But the other thing that I'd like to just throw in there is tomorrow morning on Ocean Beach in San Francisco, they're having an impeach flash mob. They are having 1,200 people, hopefully 1,200. They've outlined the word impeach in the sand, 100 feet high and 400 feet and 50 feet long. And they're going to fill it with bodies, and they've got a helicopter coming over.
Wow.
And it's going to float over the Golden Gate Bridge. It's got great music. There's a on their website. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still listening.
I'm sorry. I'm getting called.
Yeah, what's the website?
The website is beachimpeach.com, and you can sign up to join in the thing, and it starts at 10:30, but people should be there early to organize and line up behind the letters and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And there's a test flyover on the website on a video that's marvelous.
Okay,
so
Lucille.
If anybody's in the area and they want to participate in that, go to Ocean Beach tomorrow morning, probably around 10.
Okay.
And fill up those letters. It'll
Lucille,
be great.
I'm glad you found us. I'm out of time here, but I thank you for the call today, and thanks for holding on to talk
thank
to us.
Thank you for this discussion. It's wonderful.
You bet. Brad, bye-bye. Just about 30 seconds. I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to direct people to the website. And we are working to get the new Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen, on our program as soon as she gets sworn in on Monday. And so hopefully in the near future we'll get her on to get an update and learn about this top-to-bottom review and potential decertification of the things that we saw McPherson do against better judgment.
I think there'll be some interesting staff appointments that will be coming out as well. Keep an ear on that. And, of course, so much more in 2007. Let's just hope it is the year of accountability.
Thank you, Brad. We'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure.
Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show.